You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I'm Andrew Berkshire, analyst for the Montreal Gazette and also the host of Game Over Montreal at SDPN Sports on YouTube. And I'm here with Laura Saba because Mary couldn't make it here today. She's still coming back from her vacation. We got a pretty fun podcast here for you today. We've got Adam Gretz coming on. He's going to be joining us for the interview. But first, we have to talk about the top story in hockey right now, which is, unfortunately, yet again, about Evander Kane. We have spent so much time on this podcast talking about Evander Kane, and I'm so tired of it because it's never fun news. But after an investigation, Evander Kane was caught with a fake vaccine card, and he's been suspended by the NHL for 21 games. Laura, do you understand why 21 games is the thing when this is a federal crime? Because I don't understand why it's only 21 games.
I also don't understand why, because like you said, it is a federal crime. People have been like screenshotting and pointing it out and things like that. And the way the NHL language is that it's a vaccine card issue. And so it's probable that they don't actually have enough proof, but they know that he did something. And so he's been suspended on the basis of what they were able to prove, which is, I don't know what, right? Like, cause we don't know, we haven't seen it, but he's been accused of it, credibly accused of it. And so the thing that gets me is that because he's been suspended now, or he's being suspended for 21 games, is that that's the punishment. So that removes the ability for the Sharks to terminate his contract on the basis of, breaching the contract or whatever it is, conduct unbecoming, because, and this came from, I believe Chris Johnston reported it, that he's been punished for the thing that he did. So he can't be repunished for the thing that he did by being terminated. However, the Sharks have said that they don't want him in the room. Like the actual players don't want him in the room. And right now, I don't know if I'm basing too much of it on that game against the Canadians, but that youth movement is so great right now. They've got a lot of rookies joining the team. Some of them are expected to be really good. I mean, William Eklund is projected to be really, really great. And so, you know, do you want that dynamic in your locker room where people don't want him, regardless of what he did, which we will get into in a second? Like if the team, like if veteran members of the team don't want him around, what does that do to a locker room where you've got guys that are known to be, you know, people like, for example, Erik Karlsson, Vlasic, like those guys are expected to groom and mold the younger guys into a good team in the future. What happens to the dynamic if they're forced to play him? So like they've got very few options. They do have options, but they've got very few options at this point.
It's kind of depressing too, because like you said, the youth movement in San Jose looks really fun. And that was a loose team. Every game that I've watched of theirs, they're just a very loose team. It seemed like they're having a lot of fun, and bringing in somebody who has, for lack of a better word, a toxic personality and needs to get help. And at least Evander Kane is willing to admit that he needs to get help. But beyond that, there's like, he was cleared of it by the NHL, or at least they couldn't substantiate the allegations by his wife about, I think we all know that he has gambling issues. You look at his debts and the creditors coming after him, but they couldn't substantiate her claims of,
gambling on his own games.
Gambling on his own games, gambling on the NHL. And it wasn't made clear, but some of the claims that she made about, abandoning her with no money and leaving their kids, and she'd like sell things for food. I don't know if the NHL was actually investigating that or if that's within their purview. I don't think so. But there are other things going on with Kane outside of the vaccine card, outside of the gambling, that also are like part of this story, right? Like there's so much going on with this guy that has to be looked into. And it's such a distraction, aside from the fact that he's not necessarily a welcome personality in that room. I don't know what you do here, the Sharks, but it just makes you think when you mentioned like that they can't now terminate his contract with cause because of this punishment. It makes me think like Sharks management is seeing the suspension and they're like, okay. And they realize the implication. It's like that gif of Bruce Boudreau where he's saying the F word, but it's like, darn. That's their actual reaction. Like, why couldn't you just do the whole season? Like it.
Right. That sounds exactly like it, because now it's past the buyout window that they would have been able to use. They have to wait all the way until the next offseason to use it. And on our podcast, Kyle Demetrius of Locked On Sharks, he mentioned that the one option that they might have is what the Rangers did with Tony DeAngelo, which is put him on waivers for the purposes of the buyout and then say, just don't report to the Barracuda. Don't bother going. Like, we don't want you poisoning them either. And that's what happened with the Rangers. And that seems to be pretty much their only option. And then the buyout rolls around and they can do it. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like they have a lot of options, but it doesn't feel like they've thought it through. I mean, if the players did not want him back, I wonder if they spoke up before the buyout window and San Jose was just like, no.
Yeah, it could have been. And I also wonder, the other thing that might be on the table for them is something that was rumored, I think, coming into last year, or maybe it was coming into the bubble, even though San Jose wasn't involved. But when it was released that he had those massive debts at different casinos, that he might want to file for bankruptcy, and he couldn't do that unless his contract was terminated. So I wonder if there's a situation where the Sharks and Kane and his agent could like mutually agree to terminate that contract. Or like, on the face of it, you're like, why would Kane ever do that? There's like so much money coming to him that he could pay off his debts from that contract. But it's like, if you can declare bankruptcy, he might be in a better situation to clear those debts.
Right.
It's a complicated story. And it's one of those stories where like you try to get all the information, but you still feel at the end of it that there's probably something that you missed and that you don't know that complicates things further. Unfortunately, that's just Evander Kane these days.
Yeah, and it's like you said, at least he's willing to admit that he needs help, but the next step to that is actually going to get the help.
Yeah.
And that's something that he needs to do, whether he declares bankruptcy or he gets bought out, whatever happens to him next, like that's something that he's going to need to do regardless.
Yeah, and like it's easy to talk the talk, right? And Kane has been struggling to walk the walk his entire career, you know, like, and it's not like this stuff is new. There's allegations of assault against women early in his career. There's things that have followed him for a very long time. And, you know, you see a lot of people now who defended him in his Winnipeg Jets days when Dustin Byfuglien was like essentially bullying him in the dressing room. And people were like, wow, Dustin Byfuglien must be a real jackass. And you're like, actually, maybe Dustin Byfuglien had a point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's what, anytime you see stuff like that and you don't actually know the like inner workings of the room, it is totally reasonable to like defend the person who appears to be getting bullied. But sometimes bullying is good, apparently.
That's not the message that you should take away from the Crosscheck NHL
show. Not for kids. We'll say that. Bullying is not good for kids. Don't bully kids. Especially my kids, because I'll beat you up. But sometimes on the internet, when bad people do things, it's good to bully them. And sometimes when somebody's a bad teammate, it's good to show them the door, we'll say. But
yeah, exactly. That's it.
But we're going to move on from Evander Kane and bring in Adam Gretz, because I'm excited to talk to him. And I'm excited for you guys to hear from him. He's a really, really smart guy. And we're going to talk about the Penguins. We're going to talk about the Flyers, the Canadiens, the Islanders, and ask Adam what his favorite crazy start to the season for any team is, because the beginning of the season is so chaotic. It's part of the fun. But before we get to Adam, we got to talk to you about BetOnline. They're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. Head over to the updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, the NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. I'm once again joined by Laura Saba, guest hosting, because Mary is out of town, still having fun at Disney. And we're joined by veteran NHL writer from Yard Barker and NHL on NBC, Adam Gretz. How's it going, Adam?
Hey, Going great. Thanks for having me today, guys.
It's our pleasure. So the beginning of the season is super chaotic, and there's a few storylines that have been going around, and we're going to hit on Evander Kane, Laura and I in like the first segment that'll be recorded later here. And there's other stuff to talk about as well. But I think one of the bigger stories, since you're based out of Pittsburgh, is the Penguins starting the season without Crosby and without Malkin. And I believe Crosby hit a bit of a setback, right? And he stopped practicing with the team yesterday or the day before.
That was a scheduled day off, they said.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, they can say that. I mean,
who really we don't have to believe them.
Yeah. I mean, they can say that. But the expectation was that from the time of the he had a minor wrist procedure done, they said from the time of the surgery, it was going to be 6 weeks. When you did the math on that, it came out to about the first 2 to maybe 3 weeks of the regular season. So everybody was kind of anticipating he would probably miss the first 4 or 5 games.
Right.
So far, it's right on track with where we kind of thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think looking at the lineup that the Penguins went out with for the first couple of games there, and I think Guentzel is back now, correct?
Guentzel missed the first game. He had COVID. He passed all the protocols after the first game. He's back. But as soon as he came back, because the universe has to be balanced, Brian Rust got hurt.
So that's now right.
He's been out since the first game of the season, and he's going to miss a couple of weeks. So it's not only Crosby and Malkin out right now. They missed Guentzel for a game, and now they have Brian Rust out for a couple of weeks. So they have some injuries.
Yes, they're definitely dealing with some stuff. Now, I know Mary's big, bold prediction this year was that due to aging and the injuries at the start that the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to finally miss the playoffs. It's not looking that way. And I think maybe you have a different opinion, but I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins right now who are 2-0-2, and they're playing some pretty decent hockey against a pretty high level competition as well. They haven't had an easy schedule. I don't want to hear any team ever make another excuse again this season. You know, like, I know it's a small sample size and things can fall out from underneath them at any point, but I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins right now, and I don't want to hear anybody else's excuses. How are you feeling about this team so far?
Well, I think when people first saw that Crosby was going to be out, everybody knew Malkin was going to be out for a while. There was a lot of expectation, even around here in Pittsburgh, that when you looked at their early season schedule, they had to start in Tampa, had to go to Florida. You know, I think as we found, Chicago is not very good. But at the time, after all their offseason stuff, you thought, oh, they might be decent. Dallas looked like maybe a solid team. They had a tough schedule. There was a lot of people around here that were thinking like 1-3 start, 0-4 start. And they've not only gotten a point in every game, they probably should have won that Florida game. They very easily could have won the Dallas game the other night. They're not just getting points. They're kind of dominating these teams. And I think a lot of that is a testament to Mike Sullivan, who continues to just chug along, do his job as, you know, really good coach. And I do think they still have, even without Crosby and Malkin, a pretty good complementary cast of players. And one of the things I always went to last season was when you look at how they performed when Crosby and Malkin weren't on the ice, they still outscored teams by a very significant margin, which is something they have not always had here. And so I do think there's still a lot of really good players here. Jeff Carter has found the fountain of youth since coming to Pittsburgh. You know, Danton Heinen has gotten off to a really good start. He's been kind of a nice under the radar pickup. And there's just some really good players here still that maybe don't get a lot of attention because they're playing in the shadow of Crosby and Malkin, and they're playing really well right now. And I'll tell you what else has helped. Tristan Jarry has been pretty good. And that was the big question coming into this season was, what's he going to do after the playoffs? Because he had a meltdown against the Islanders. I mean, he was terrible, as bad as a goalie could be. And the Penguins didn't do anything with the position this offseason. They came back with the same two guys. They believed in them. And so far, Jari's been really good, and that's been a big bonus for them. You get good goaltending, you have a chance.
Yeah, and it's good to see a younger – I mean, I think he's in his mid-20s now, but I think goaltenders, you always expect them to be younger or like in their mid-20s when they're kind of breaking into their starting roles, right? So to see a younger guy like that bounce back and have the mental fortitude to not dwell on how awful the playoffs were and how awful the second half of last season was for Jari, is a big thing for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Moving across Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Flyers are also having a pretty good start to the season. And it seems like Carter Hart is also rebounding. Are we going to see an all Pennsylvania top of the Metro this year?
You know, Philadelphia is one of those teams I can never get a good handle on, because it seems like at any given moment they could win 10 games in a row or they could lose 10 games in a row. You just never know with them. I've thought all along that Carter Hart is probably the most impactful player in the league this season in terms of the impact he can have on his team. I don't think there's another player that's going to impact his team more than he will. If he's good, the Flyers are going to be good. If he's not good, they're going to struggle. And, you know, you look at their roster overall, it's a pretty solid team. I mean, there's not a lot of weaknesses there. And I thought Ryan Ellis was a good pickup this offseason. I thought Keith Yandel, I've always been a Keith Yandel fan. I think he's a really good player. I think he's really underappreciated. I thought he was a good pickup. The Ristolainen move didn't make much sense. I mean, I don't know. That's one of those typical Flyers moves where they just kind of have to make a big splash. But I like the Atkinson trade. And then, you have a really solid core already in place. That's a pretty good team. And if Carter Hart plays like he did the first 2 years in the league, maybe takes a step forward, they're going to be a really tough team to beat.
Yeah. I mean, even looking at Carter Hart last season, last season was such a disaster for him. He was bar none the worst goaltender in the entire league. And even if you look at he only played 27 games, right? If he were to have the save percentage that he has so far this season, which is .921 on the shots that he faced last year in just 27 games, the difference in goals is
huge.
32 fewer. 32 fewer in 27 games.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that's
that is incredible.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if he's good, they're gonna be really tough to beat. And yeah. I had high expectations for them last season, and he was a big part of those expectations, and obviously the season went the way it went. But, here's the thing about the Metro, though. There's six teams in it: Pittsburgh, Philly, Washington, the two New York teams, and Carolina. They could finish in any order, 1 through 6, and it would not surprise me.
Yeah.
There's nothing there that would surprise me. I think any one of those teams could win the division. I think any one of those teams could finish in sixth place and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Metro is – it's pure chaos, because I don't know if there's any teams in there that are like elite regular season teams, but there's six good ones. And then now New Jersey is going to make everything messy too, because they're all of a sudden playing really well. Although Jack Hughes getting injured might throw a wrench into that whole situation. But we got to take a quick break and hear from a sponsor. And on the other side, maybe we'll continue breaking down the Metro division, because it's just so fun. And the beginning of this season is so chaotic. So we'll talk about that right after we hear about Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to Rock Auto at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30 to 50 or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Not only that, but Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, which means that they care about your business, and they're not just some faceless corporation looking to make all the money that they can off of you. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, do-it-yourselfer or professional mechanic. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, so we're back with Adam Gretz from NHL on NBCE and Yard Barker and many other places that Adam... You know, he's prolific NHL writer, and Laura Saba is here with us from Locked On Canadiens. Actually, you know what? Let's touch on the Canadians. Adam, have you seen the chaos of this team? Before we get into it, I want to talk about the Islanders as well, because they're off to a rough start as well. But let's talk about the Canadians first. Have you watched any of their games this year?
I've seen a bit of them, yes.
And it's a little rough.
It's a little rough. And, you know, that's another one of those teams that I really wasn't sure what to think of coming into this season, because I know their playoff run last year took everybody by surprise, but I was also one of those people that was thinking, you know what, like, this isn't a bad team. Like, you look at their underlying numbers, they're really strong. You know, when Carey Price is playing at his best, he can put the team on his back and carry it just like he did in the playoffs. You know, when they played Pittsburgh in the bubble, I was one of the few people screaming, this isn't a slam dunk for Pittsburgh here. This is going to be a tough series. And so it didn't really surprise me that they went on such a deep run, especially in that division last year. But when you looked at what happened in the offseason, they lost a lot. You know, losing Deneau is a big loss. He was a really good player. I know he didn't play in the playoffs. Thomas Tatar was a really good player for them. And then, you know, the Kotkaniemi situation, that happened. Then you lose Shea Weber, probably sounds like maybe permanently. And then right before the season, Carey Price has to step away. That's a lot of talent to take out of your lineup in a short period of time. That's tough to overcome. And I like some of the moves they made in the offseason. Like, in the short term, I think Dvorak's probably a better player right now than Kotkaniemi is.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. At this point in their careers, yeah.
Yes. But Kotkaniemi, he has more upside, but upside doesn't do you much good right now. So I like that move. You know, Hoffman isn't the total all-around player that somebody like Tatar Danault is, but he can score in the power play. He can score goals. There's something there. But that's still a ton of talent to lose. And that's a lot to overcome at the start of the season. And it's just been, as you said, it's been rough. And it's one of those teams where I really don't know what to expect, because they're going from a division where they were pretty even with everybody. You know, a pretty level playing ground with every team they were playing every night, to a division now where you got to compete with Tampa Bay, you got to compete with Boston, you got to compete with a really good Florida team that I think is going to seriously contend for a Stanley Cup this season. And then you have to deal with the wild cards. There's a couple Metro teams you're going to be fighting with for a place. It was always going to be, I think, a really tough season. But when you look at all the players they lost at the start, it's just been a lot to overcome.
Yeah, it really has. And like on my other show, after the Canadians got blown out by the Sharks the other night, I had Shireen Ahmed on, and she was talking about, like, one of the factors that might be at play here is just the, like, not to make it a morality play, but the lack of confidence and direction from management that stemmed from the draft, and then the, like, wishy-washy, don't really know what we're doing off season. We're like, yes, they made some decent moves, but, you know, you're not replacing Shea Weber in the off season. It seemed like right. There was no plan to replace Shea Weber. And like my continual thing is, like, I give them some level of space in that some of the moves, the players that they lost, it was probably unavoidable, like losing Deneau. If he wanted to move on, he wanted to move on. Shea Weber, that's an injury related, essentially retirement. But at the same time, nobody knew more about Shea Weber's injury history than the team that's been playing him and paying him for the last several years. So you had time while he was playing injured to figure out some sort of solution going forward. And there's been no plan.
He's been
for
injured
that.
Before.
Exactly. And this is something that, like, I said on my show on Thursday, or no, on Tuesday, I talked to somebody in the Nashville organization days after that trade, the Subban Weber trade, and they said that he had lingering injuries that would cause the end of his career in a couple of years. So, like, do you think the Canadians didn't know that? They 100% knew that. So, like, as much as you want to give them space, like, wow, you know, you can't replace Shea Weber, you didn't try. You had 5 years to figure out a solution.
What is he now? Is he 37, 38?
He's a 2003 draft, so he should be 36, I would say.
Okay.
I think he's 36. And we made that point on Locked On Canadiens today, actually, that lack of direction and vision right now, especially with the uncertainty over Marc Bergevin's next contract and whether he's staying or going, that kind of thing permeates throughout the entire organization, because it's not just clear. It's not just unclear whether he's staying or not. It's also unclear what the direction of this team is. Do they want to, sell off assets and maybe try for a good draft pick? Do they want to keep trying to go for it, knowing that last year was in many respects a luck thing? It wasn't a huge fluke. I mean, they were better than their regular season results showed, but it was still like everything went right for them until they got to the Stanley Cup final. So what do you do? Do you want to try and replicate that, knowing that you lost a lot of talent and both of the key players that dragged you there are now out? And so for me personally, I think that uncertainty, everybody can feel it. Everybody can feel it. And so when you watch the players on the ice and they don't know what they're doing and they don't know, they didn't suddenly forget how to play hockey. It's just that it's that air of uncertainty that is sort of poisoning everything, I think.
And like when you have a general manager in that situation where he doesn't know what his future is, and you have a team that, like you said, kind of doesn't have a direction right now, it's kind of tough for that general manager to pick a direction, because if he is not sure he's going to be there next season, what does he care about the long-term outlook of the team? You know, like, I mean, there's a lot there.
Yeah. It's a messy situation. I think like we all know at some point during the season that Canadiens team has enough talent on it that they'll kind of put things together to a certain degree. They're very unlikely to make the playoffs now. Right. But they're not this bad. I think everyone knows that. But speaking of teams that also need to put things together, the New York Islanders, I mean, Laura was talking about, you know, suddenly forgetting how to play hockey. The team that has been the defensive stalwart in the NHL for the last several seasons, especially when it comes to playoff time, they have the sixth worst expected goals against at even strength in the league this year. And that's kind of jumped down the list a little bit, like gotten a little bit better after their last game against, I believe it was Chicago, but where they finally won a game. But the New York Islanders don't look very good. They are really rough. And if you look at that Chicago game, like they were actually outchanced by the high danger chances 10-2, I believe. That's not great.
That, especially against that Chicago team. That's
exactly. Like the Chicago Blackhawks so far this season have controlled something like 15% of goals at even strength.
They haven't had a lead.
If you're getting beaten down by them, oh
yeah. The Islanders, you know, as somebody that is based in Pittsburgh and has seen an up close look at the Islanders a lot over the past couple of years, they are a team that just frustrates me to no end, because when you watch them in the regular season, you know, they'll have that one stretch where they'll win. They'll have like a 15 game point streak. They'll win like 12. They'll go 12-0-3. They'll bank all these points. And then the rest of the season, they're kind of just like an ordinary 500, maybe slightly below 500 team. But they did enough early on to get in the playoffs. And then when they get in the playoffs, they just turn into like the 70s Canadians, where they just shut everybody down and nobody can score against them. So, you know, I still believe that they're going to figure it out. I still think that, you know, the defense is still solid. I think Pelech and Pollock is a great defense pairing. I think they have probably the best goalie duo in the league. You know, Trotz is a great coach. I think their forward talent is pretty balanced. Like like Barzal is really the only like impact player they have at forward, but they don't have many weaknesses there either. It's still a very,
you never know. They might lose the next 22 games.
I have full confidence they're going to make the playoffs as a middle seed.
Just a note on what we were talking about earlier. There's been an update on the Jack Hughes situation.
That's what they do.
He has a dislocated shoulder.
And
he will not require surgery and will be reevaluated.
I'm to the point now where I do not bet against them until they've lost four games in a playoff series. That's just how, that's just what I'm conditioned to think with them.
Well, you're making me feel better, Adam, because I had the Islanders written down as my Stanley Cup pick, and so far, they're not making me look very smart.
I still believe. I mean, I still believe when it comes to April, May, they're going to be one of those teams standing. Now, they are in a tough spot right now. I think they have like a 14-game road trip to open the season. You know, that might put them behind the eight ball a little bit if they don't figure it out here soon, because, you know, you really can't make the playoffs at this point in the season, but you can miss the playoffs if you put yourself in a hole. And so they do have to dig out of this soon before they get back home. But I just – the way that team's been the past 3 years, I don't bet against them until they are officially done. So I still think they're going to turn it around.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not believe in them just based on the consistency of their postseason performance alone, you know, and the fact that they always find a way to make it in. And I don't know. It's just – you can't really bet against the Islanders. There's too much that goes right there to believe that they're going to be this rough for the foreseeable future. All right, before we let you go, Adam, I want to ask you of the stuff that we haven't talked about. What is the craziest situation that you've seen so far this season? What team has surprised you the most?
I think just the fact that Buffalo is 3-0. And not only are they 3-0, I think their goal differential is like 15-4 right now, something like that. Now, I know the schedule has been very favorable for them so far. But when you looked at that roster on opening night, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my God, I don't think this team's going to win 20 games this season.
Yeah.
Like, it was that bad. And now Buffalo's done this before where they've had really fast. I think it was 2018, I think it was, where like 25 games into the season, they had the best record in the league and they ended up finishing with one of the worst records. So I'm not going to like say that they're better than we thought, but I thought it would take them 15 or 20 games to win three games this season. So the fact that they're 3-0 right now is absolutely wild to me.
We had a slight audio issue here where Laura's mic cut out in the recording for some reason, but she was trying to update us that there's been clarity on Jack Hughes' injury situation where he has a separated shoulder that will not require surgery.
I mean, it's better than I thought it was going to be. It looked pretty brutal, but still, anything shoulder is rough, especially for a guy who's struggled to establish himself as a shooter and has seemingly started to figure that out this year. That's a rough blow for him.
One of my big preseason predictions was that he was going to be like top 10 scorer in the league this season. I thought he was going to have a huge year. So obviously that kind of throws a little wrench into that probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at the same time, you can't be faulted for an injury derailing a prediction, right? That's not how that works. But yeah. Okay. So thanks, Adam, so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Really happy to have you on. Before we let you go, can you tell us what you got going on? Where should we check you out outside of your listed stuff in your Twitter bio? Show us what your plans are for this season.
Well, I work for NBC, NHL and NBC Sports. I do stuff for Yard Barker. I do stuff for Pensburg at SB Nation, and I'm always staying busy. So check it out and follow me on Twitter at @agretz. It's always an adventure there. So so yeah, that's where you'll find me, and just trying to plug along and make really bad predictions. So
that's what we're all here for.
So thanks for having me, guys.
My pleasure, and thanks for coming on. Did you know that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market? It's soft, easy to chew, and they have tons of delicious flavors to choose from. They have their 9 consistently available flavors in coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. And they also have some limited edition flavors that are always coming and going and available on their website that you can check out at any time. I actually just got a Built Bar delivery yesterday, Laura, and I think it's like a coconut. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm excited.
Blueberry muffin.
Well, I have get to the go blueberry pick muffin. Mine up. Yeah,
oh,
I
really?
Got. Yeah, I got coconut.
I'll share
something.
Mine.
All right, we'll exchange.
I'll share mine. We'll exchange.
We'll review.
Exactly.
But I'm really excited to try it because I've only had the cookie dough one so far, and I really like that one. So I'm interested to try more Built Bar flavors. Every Built Bar has between 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They have amazing flavors. They're all tasty and all healthy. Go Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, so it's time for our pop culture roulette segment, which is just sharing what we've been up to lately. I actually did get a chance to watch some stuff in between the last show and this one. I started watching Squid Game with my wife because I've been wanting to watch it ever since it came out, when like the first trailer came out on Netflix, and then the hype went through the roof for it. And I was like, oh my God, I need to watch this before everything gets ruined by like memes that show up on my Instagram. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm not through it yet. I don't know if you're, have you watched Squid Game yet, Laura?
No, it's next on my list,
okay,
but I haven't started it yet because this week has been a little crazy. But I'm very excited about it. I usually don't, you know, follow the sort of the hype on things like that. Like, for example, I never got into Tiger King and things like that. For me, things that just look like they're just going to, you know, you're watching craziness just for the sake of it. That's not the kind of thing that I get into. But Squid Game seems to be like a really intelligent, extremely interesting show. So I'm very, very excited to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger King was very much like, look at this trashy thing and like, look at the dumpster fire. You can't look away from it. And it was,
yeah, that's not
out,
that's
of the zeitgeist in a week, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think Squid Game, yeah, is gonna last longer. It's so beautifully directed and acted, and the emotional intelligence of the series is really spectacular. Like, not, I don't want to spoil everything, anything, but you start out and like every character, you're like, wow, these people are awful, and then it just kind of, it's similar in the same, in the way that Ted Lasso, you start out and the characters are very,
Too 2D,
right? Like, they're, yeah, not, they don't have a lot of depth. And then as the series goes on, you start to really love every character, and you don't love every character in Squid Game, but as it goes on, the character development is just spectacular and you feel for them. And the premise of it is crazy. And there are moments of it where you're like, this is nuts. And it's just like almost for shock value, but just some of the emotional intelligence that they are able to push through this. And I mean, as always, anybody who is thinking of watching it, please watch in Korean with the English subtitles on. Don't watch dubbed, because you just lose out on the performances of these actors, and they are, like, a lot of them are really incredible performances. It's quite the show. I can't wait to finish it. I'm gonna maybe try to finish that today with my wife before the hockey game, while I'm just sitting on the couch after being a little bit hungover from last night.
I'm very, very excited to get into it, and hopefully after this week it'll, like, my life will calm down enough that I can watch it. And it's exactly like you said, I find that is the case for most shows. If it's in a language other than the one you speak, it's always better not to have the dubbed. It's easier sometimes to have the dubbed, and you need a lot more focus when you're watching with subtitles. You can't, like, you know, do the dishes or something and have it on in the background. You really need to be into it, but you do get more out of the viewing experience, I find.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that I like about subtitles for languages that I don't speak, which is everything but English, is that it does force you to focus, right? And you, mm-hmm, got to put your phone down. You know,
yeah,
you can't be multitasking, and you get more out of it. And I've just really enjoyed the show so far. For anybody who has seen it, I just watched the Marbles episode, which was intense. No spoilers, mm-hmm, for Laura. But so, Laura, what have you been able to watch since we last spoke?
A hockey game.
A hockey game, yeah.
It wasn't all that great.
I watched one, too, and then I had to talk about it right after, and it was, yeah, I actually had a really fun time, but not,
yeah,
a fun hockey game.
The episode was great. I watched it yesterday, and obviously we're recording this on Thursday morning. I watched it on Wednesday, but on Tuesday I did go to the hockey game, and actually that might be relevant to the pop culture thing, because as you know, having watched it and spoken about it, the On Ice product was not great. Yes, but the atmosphere,
I did feel
bad
when I remembered that you were at that game.
Well, it's okay, it's not like I dropped hundreds of dollars or anything like, sure, that. I was very lucky to get invited, complimentary tickets, and the atmosphere at the game, even though most of the lower bowl had not been sold, so I think they finally, the final count was that it was 16,000 as opposed to, you know, your usual 22,000, And the atmosphere at the game was still pretty fun. I mean, they are going a little bit hard on like the techno music or like the remixes of songs and stuff like that, but they are managing to create an atmosphere that's fun. And like I said, the game was putrid, but I had a really fun time. You know, the people, like, people were still loud. They were making themselves heard, especially when the referees were making calls, and it still felt like a hockey game. So that's something that, you know, I know it's going to be a big decision for lots of people to go to games now, given, you know, like, children can't be vaccinated. So if you have kids, you might want to stay away from the game, or if you can't take them, that might be, you know, a deal breaker for you. But with what they've got in a situation where they released the tickets and the government sort of, they didn't give them a lot of lead time to sell these tickets for the first few weeks before they allowed them to operate at full capacity. I think the Canadians did a really good job with game presentation. And, you know, it's a shame that the on ice product isn't better, because I feel like it's going to be a good time to go to a hockey game still. It's just that the team needs to be better.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And unfortunately, that doesn't appear like it's going to happen this season, as Mark Brashman did his press conference saying that the answer is in the room, which is always the it ain't my fault of press conferences. But
right. And it seemed like he said that he wanted the players to perform better. And I was like, I don't think the players, it's not a problem of whether they're performing or not. It's like, they don't know their roles yet. And that went so well in the playoffs. So why can't they figure out roles and directions and goals for these players? I mean, you think Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield don't want to meet goals? You need to give them better goals to meet.
Yep. Yep. 100%. And I think they need to move away from some of the ideology that they have. I mean, you look at the way that they're doing the power play, but we're supposed to be talking pop culture, not hockey. We're gonna have to save this. Maybe I'll have to jump on to Locked On Canadiens and we'll have to rage about this, or maybe
we would absolutely love to have you anytime.
Well, you know that I'm always down. And once you get set up with your webcam and everything, we're gonna have you on to Game Over Montreal as well, which is always gonna be fun, which is gonna be going live tonight after the Canadiens face the Carolina Hurricanes in the Jess Barry Kokaniemi revenge game, which should be fun. But that's all we have for you today on the Crosscheck NHL Show. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. But now that you're finished listening to our show, make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Collin leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.